We all have our occasional bad days. But then there was one man and one wife. Okay, one man, one wife. Okay, there's a family of a husband and wife. Jack and Marie had one Wednesday evening. They had a very, very bad time. Just before 9 p.m. that night, they received a phone call from the police station, okay, informing them that their 18-year-old daughter, Rebecca, had been in a serious car accident. Within an hour, of course, the both husband and wife was there, and they were holding one another as tears were coming down their cheeks as they walked into the Jacksonville emergency room. Their daughter there, shattered and dead on a hospital shelter stretcher, the victim of a drunk driver. At that time, Jack, who is actually a deacon of a church in America, was there with the wife. Of course, they were crying, and the pastor came in, and he just had received the news earlier. And so the pastor came and asked, and he saw them just together, and the pastor placed his hand on Jack's shoulder and asked, "Are you okay?" Jack, a church deacon, a dedicated Christian for many years, looked up to the pastor. His eyes were wet. His lips were trembling. But he smiled and said, "Yes, Pastor, we're okay. Despite the grief we feel right now, we still have victory. We have the Lord's peace in our hearts." What a tremendous challenge to our heart, is it not? Sometimes when we go through the most difficult things in life, and sometimes we go, "Oh, it's the end of the world," and all that kind of thing, and we feel that everything is just kind of dropped on us. I think all of us know as Christians, we will have to go through trials and tribulations. That is part and parcel of the Christian life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, I think it's inside your verse there. Peter was writing to the Jewish Christians suffering for their faith. And he write this, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season it need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the big appearing of Jesus Christ. Wherein refers to the salvation the Christians have. Christians, if there's nothing you can rejoice in, you can rejoice in one thing: your salvation. That is not the world can collapse, you will never lose your salvation. Amen. That's why Peter said you can go through the trial of the of faith, you can go through the affliction, the troubles in your life, you can still rejoice while you are safe eternally in God's hands. And that's why wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. I like the phrasing of the Bible verse. It says, if need be. You know what that tells me? It tells me that trials are sent for a purpose. Amen. God doesn't test our patience. God doesn't do things to us just for fun. You know, kind of. Sometimes, unfortunately, I don't think so, but some parents were saying, "I just want to do that to that and see what he does." And sometimes we just want to kind of, in Chinese, go cho-cho them a bit, disturb them a little bit, and kind of say, just for the fun of it. In the times of Jesus, the Roman soldiers tend to do that, you know. "You're a Jew? Bring this and carry one mouth for me." And just to kind of irritate them. God doesn't do that. God does not do that. Because the Bible says, if need be, if it is necessary for us to go through the difficulties, God will put us through. There is God thinks it is necessary for us sometimes to go through the temptations. And therefore, when temptation comes in, listen carefully, when you have a trial of your life that is on your life, whether it's short term or lifelong, remember this, God has a purpose. And because He is all wise, and because He is all good, and because He is all holy, and because He is all righteous, and because He is all loving, the trial is not a wasted time. Amen? You may feel, "Brother Johnny, I don't like this." Do you think God likes it? Can I say that? Do you think God likes to put... Do us as parents like to put heavy loads on our children? Some children say, yeah. No! Alright? Parents, you need to think, children need to good, you need to think good thoughts of your parents. Which is true. Parents, I believe as Christian parents, we do have love for our children. We would not want to put heavy loads unless we believe it is necessary for that child to grow through it. Does it make sense? So, in the same way, God will not put trials in our life. But then what is the purpose of the trials? Notice there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, especially 7, the trial of your faith. Every test that comes into your life is to test your faith. I've said it before, I'll say it again, it's a very interesting thought. You know, when you go through a difficulty in your life, how many of you will say, I'm going through such a difficult time in my life, I'm going to quit my job? Huh? Or, I'm going through such a difficult time in my life, I think I just give away my house. But many of us will say, when you go through a trial in your life, I'll give up my faith. And that is the key. I want us to understand, as Christians, Satan works tirelessly to give you trials in your life, or bring trials after permission from God to disrupt your faith. We've talked about that before. Okay? But you know what? God allows it to try our faith. As much as we have trials in life, it is seen in Scripture that we can have victory. Amen? We can have victory in our life. We can have a victorious Christian life. Now, what is a victorious life? Maybe I just ask, how many of you believe as a Christian that you are living right now a victorious Christian life? No one? Okay. It's a bit hard sometimes because you say, Brother Johnny, you know, victory, we do have small victories along the way. And sometimes we win some, we lose some, right? Okay. Now, what is a victorious Christian life? Let me just explain the word victory. The word victory literally comes from the Latin word victoria or vinco. The word victory comes from the word to conquer. I say again, the word victory comes from the word to conquer. Now that really helps us to see where the word victory comes from. The word victory has two main meanings. Number one, conquest. It is the defeat of an enemy in battle, or a gaining of a superiority in war. That means that I have an enemy and I defeat that enemy. That means I have victory. And the reason why I have victory means is because I conquered that enemy in battle. Does it make sense? Just like if Singapore goes and fights Japan and we beat the Japanese, okay, that means we are victorious because we conquered the Japanese army. Another one is gaining a superiority in war or combat. That means, just like Jack, who had the daughter dead, he should bring him down, right? But you know what? He was more superior than the trial. He said, it's okay. I have peace in my heart. Yeah, this is grief. But no, I'm not going to allow it to push me down. I'm not going to allow it to press me down. I have victory. I have peace in my heart. That is what victory is. Victory, however, depends not always on superior skill or valor. This is important. But sometimes it's gained by the fault of the other part. But for us as Christians, victory is not gained by us. It's gained by Christ for us. And that's an important point for us. The number two meaning of victory is the advantage or superiority gained over spiritual enemies, over passions and appetites, over temptations or struggle. Some of us will struggle. Like for example, let's pretend this is a New Year's sweet. Okay? This is a New Year's sweet. Okay? Let's pretend this is a New Year's sweet. And the child looks at it with desire. But the child says, although I desire this, there's one method for refusing to give in. You know what's the method? Look straight. Turn your head to the left, and then to the right, and then to the left, and do it about 10 times. You're saying? No. Okay. This will be important for you during reunion dinner. After you've had about 6 courses already. Okay? But you know what? Spiritually speaking, sometimes there is a desire that comes out. Something comes out and you really want to do it, but you know it's not right. You know what you need to do? When you are able to say no to it and walk away, you have victory. In other words, you have conquered that passion and say, no, I'm not going to allow it to overcome me. Okay? So that is victory. So what is a victorious life? I'll just using this meaning. A victorious life is a life that conquers sin, self, systems of this world, and is set apart on the straight and narrow way for the glory of God. You see, one thing about victory for the Christian life is, I want us to note this. Many people say, oh, I'm not doing this, therefore it's not. I'm not dishonoring God. So that's okay. But you know, we need to move towards honoring God. Because if we don't live for Christ, we are living for the world and Satan. Does that make sense? And a victorious Christian life, like Joshua was, when he went into the... He has one goal, and that is to conquer the promised land, to obey God. Many Christians today live by saying, oh, I'm a Christian, you know, I don't steal, I don't gamble, I don't go to the casino, I don't do that, and therefore I have a victorious Christian life. Not so. If you have not moved forward to say, I will live for Jesus Christ, I'm going to win souls by God's grace, I'm going to lead my family by God's grace, I'm going to read the Bible and have God change my life by God's grace. Because you know what? If you choose not to do it, does not mean you're winning. Just because you choose not doesn't mean you're winning. It's just you're neutral. And when you're neutral, you know what happens? Tendency is to slide backwards. Alright, that's something important for us to take note of. A victorious life is a life that conquers sin, conquers self, systems of this world, and is set apart on a straight and narrow way for the glory of God. Now, as Christians, we need to have a proper view of what success is. Alright? I'm going to pick on some people now. Okay, Sam. Okay, I just ask you. In your view, what is success at the PSLE? What is success at the PSLE? Getting 230 and above. Okay, what about Ethan? What is your view of success? You're doing PSLE this year. What? Scoring very well means what? 299? 270 and above. What about Jaira? You're doing PSLE also this year, right? So what is your view of success of the PSLE? A what? You sure? 280 and above. Okay. Only Papa can beat you because last time it was 300 plus. Okay. So, can you see the different thinking about what success is over the same thing? And let's put it this way. We all have different views of what success is. Okay? But you know what? We need to ask ourselves, what is our definition of success? You know, I overheard in this, you know, in Chinese New Year, they have this low hair, you know, this tossing of the raw fish, you know. And I've overheard, you know, they have this sequence whereby everyone will take they'll tear off the pepper and throw. And then when you throw the pepper in, you have to say something, and then you put in the plum sauce, then you say something and all that. And everyone is supposed to say something good lah, okay? And you hear people say, "Oh, more bonus this year, more productivity this year," or something like that. Because here the dragon, okay, it was talking to her. And so they were saying all these things, but this is the world's view of what success is, okay? Better prospects. If one will hear this carefully, you are always for wishing for things of this world. Success to many people could be wishing for the things of this world, you know? Now, you know, can I show you from the Bible? What does the Bible say about what success is? I just share three things. Number one, success is not about gaining the things of this world. Because the Bible says, Matthew 16, verse 26, For what is a man profiteth? If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And as a Christian, if we give our whole life to get 280 and above for PSLE, not win souls and not do anything, not read your Bible and all that, You know what God says? So what does it profit you if you gain such good results? I can tell you many people who gain good results have morally bankrupt lives. In other words, their lives... I had this professor who he was brilliant, okay? He was one of the top neurologists in Australia. He was one of our lecturers. When I was there, he's very smart. He's very, very smart. He's a very practical man. After I came back, the course, he was so smart. I'm not too sure whether he was lying or not. Sometimes it's very hard to tell. He would set the final year exam paper at 4 a.m. in the morning, and we're having an exam at 8. I don't know whether it's allowed there. I know in Singapore it's definitely not allowed, okay? But in that system, he can set the paper at 4 a.m. I think he's probably lying. But he's very, very smart. You know, after I came back, after I graduated, came back, the last I heard was he separated from his wife of 10 to 15 years and moved in with a third year student. And that is something which, so what if you're smart? So what if you have all the academic qualifications of this world? Many of the MOE people are getting caught doing things that are immoral, and they can, you know, in the papers, right? Some of the teachers who are under MOE scholarship, what's happening? And I thought education is supposed to make them smart, but smart in the wrong way, okay? So parents, as you bring up your children, make sure you have a proper definition of success. Gaining things in this world doesn't mean success, okay? We can have things, and that is not a sin, but are you one of those who will buy things that you don't need? Would you? How many of you? Better not ask this question. Are you one of those who will buy things that you don't need? Just for fun? Just so that you can flash your plastic, your credit card? I hope not. But you know what? Some people just buy, and they got a lot of elephants at home, white ones. Because some people accumulate things for the sake of accumulating. Okay? And it takes times like New Year and Chinese New Year to start throwing things out. But you know, even throwing things out is so hard. Why? Because we have this tendency to want to accumulate things. You know why? Because man tends to replace God with things. Number one, in Proverbs 11 verse 24, some people will think that to get things, that more they have, the more successful they are. Listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs 11:24, the Bible says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is necessary meat, but it tendeth to poverty." That means that the more we keep for ourselves, it begins to get less. But the more we give it out, you realize the more you reap when you give. And that's something as a Christian we need to understand, the law of sowing and reaping. The Bible says the more you give, the more you receive. That's a Bible principle. It has happened again and again and again and again and again. Many successful people in this world who are not Christians but who are willing to give, you find their empires grow. Why? Because they're willing to give. And that is just a natural law God set in place, law of sowing and reaping. But you know, for Christians, sometimes we keep because we're scared we will lose it. God says, if you keep, you will lose it. But if you would share with God's people, if you would share with the people that need it, God says, I will multiply it. Remember the little boy who gave... The little boy who gave the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The 5 loaves, don't think of 5 gardenia loaves. The jumbo one, okay? Don't think of that. It's a 5... buns, gardenia buns. Okay? That is enough for a boy's lunch. The 2 fishes is not your, like you have those big ones. It's those 2 salted fishes, kind of like your nasi lemak, you know, just 2 pieces like that. But the boy gave the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and God fed 10,000 people. Why I say 10,000? 5,000 men, the Bible says, besides their women and their children. So which means easily there's more than 5,000 people fed from just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Only God can do that. Okay? So remember, success is not about getting things in the world. Number 2, success is not about looking good in this world. Success is not about looking good in this world. Many people believe, in fact, research has shown, looking good is the key to success in this world. Charles Feng, who is actually an author from Stanford University, said in an article, he says, the idea that attractiveness correlates with success rings true. For better or worse, the bottom line is that research shows beauty matters. It pervades society and affects how we choose whom we love. That is written in 2002. It's actually in a biology research article. It's an interesting biology research article. All right, that says beauty has correlation to being loved or being successful in this world. That's why the whole industry. You know the oil of, is it oil of Yulan? No, Shiseido. I remember the you know, Shiseido. Only guys, you know Shiseido. How you know Shiseido? I thought only the ladies know. Shiseido is actually a brand of cosmetics, called advertising. Okay?
Early generation knows.
Early generation knows, okay. It's interesting, you know. You know the founder of Shiseido, you know he said, I don't sell cosmetics. I sell hope. I don't sell cosmetics, I sell hope. Do you understand what it means? You know, of course the cosmetics is his range. By selling that, what he's doing is trying to sell hope. That's how the world sees. And that's why the whole industry about looking good, the whole industry about selling, especially Chinese New Year, look your best before Christmas, look your best, you know, and they have all these gadgets to kind of try to make you look good. This is what the world says, but what does the Bible say? Proverbs 31 verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. God just says, no. In the world, yes, if you want to move on in the world, go ahead. But if you want to move on with God, we listen. God says beauty is vain. And husband says, amen. You know, just kidding. Well, your favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. God has a different requirement for beauty and looking. How we should look. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, I'll just read, whose adorning let it not be, Peter teaching the ladies, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of hair, and of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. And some people say, no, therefore you shouldn't plait your hair, you shouldn't be wearing gold. If you say that, then you have to go on the last one. That means the lady shouldn't be wearing also, because it says neither putting on of apparel. That is not what it means, okay? But what the Bible is saying is, it mustn't be so outlandish that it points attention to yourself. Okay? Because people feel that success comes based on what you see. Beauty. We need to be very careful. Nothing wrong with taking care of yourself, but when it's a focus point, and we think that will get us ahead, you know what? You will get it. Because natural man will want to go that direction. God have a different standard. But Brother Johnny, isn't it okay to have both? You know, I like to sit down and learn, and yesterday I learned a lot. During the youth meeting. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. It dawned on me what Jesus really meant during that. Because remember youth, I think Brother Desmond was teaching about wholeheartedness. If you want this and you want this, can you be wholehearted with one? You can't, you only are half-hearted. One part here and one part there. But Jesus wants us to be wholehearted. And that's why he says no man can really serve two masters. Because your priority will, if you want to split your priority, you won't be giving your best. You're giving only 50% to one of them. Does it make sense? And so if you're truly a Christian and we want to be a Christian that follows Christ, our priority must be on Christ. And whatever God blesses us, we thank Him for it. But we must never put our heart there. You know, parents put all our effort in teaching our children, encouraging them to constantly live moral lives, pure lives that will honor the Lord and to serve Him sacrificially. When we do that, we are focusing on the true beauty God is looking for, that it will be the most satisfying. And you know what true success is? in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, it is about knowing, believing, and applying Bible consistently in every area of our life. That is what the Bible says again and again. You want true success? The Bible says what? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt have thy way, make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Only when you know the Bible, believe the Bible, and apply the Bible consistently, then you will have success. And it's interesting, many successful people actually give up their jobs to serve God. And God gives them success in a different way, of winning many people to Christ. Can you imagine? You may be earning millions of dollars. There's nothing compared to having maybe 10 souls in heaven, where you can enjoy them forever as friends. Amen? Someone in heaven forever. God does that for us. Now, based on 1 John 5 verse 4, how do we overcome? What is the victory in this life? Who overcomes this world? The Bible says, whosoever is born of God, or whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. The woofer whatsoever can be replaced with whosoever. In other words, whoever who is born of God overcometh the world. I want us to understand this truth. The Bible says, John chapter 1 verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. God made it clear, if you are a born again Christian, you already have the victory. And you will overcome the world. Every Christian will overcome the world. There may be struggles, there may be conflicts, but in the end, Christians will still overcome the world. They will overcome the world. Okay? Why? Why can we as Christians overcome the world? Because number one, our Savior has overcome the world. Amen. John 16 verse 33, these things are spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Some of you may say, Brother Johnny, this year is going to be bad. I'm not too sure how I'm going to make it. But you know what? Jesus says, in me you will have peace. If you put your eyes on the things of the economy, you will not have peace. But if you put your eyes on Christ, on whom even the world's economy depends, you will have peace. Amen? Does that make sense? You don't have to worry about your job. You don't have to worry about money. That's easy for you to say, Brother Johnny. I can. I got 4 children. Okay? But you know, at the same time, I know that my provisions doesn't come from anywhere else but God. And unless you can have that assurance that even in whatever situation you're in, it is Christ that gives you the provisions. In Him, you will have peace. Christ has helped us to overcome the world. If the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the world, and He lives in us, think about that. If Jesus has overcome the world, and He lives in us, can we overcome the world? Can we overcome the world? Yes or no? You're not convinced, huh? Can we overcome the world? Yes, of course. Jesus said, 1 Corinthians 15:57, interesting the word there, but thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us try to live life by ourselves. We don't read the Bible. We don't pray. We think that as a Christian, we can just kind of run along and we'll be fine. Excuse me? No, you can't. If you live by the things of this world, if you listen to the philosophies that you are saying or teaching your children, or even listening from friends, you will find that many of the philosophies are not Bible philosophies, not God's philosophy. Unless we are willing to follow Christ and His Word, we will overcome the world if we follow our Savior, because He has overcome the world, number one. Number two, because He has given us all things that we need to overcome this world. Okay? Christ has given us everything we need as Christians to overcome this world. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, I'll just read. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Christians, do you realize that God has given you everything you need to live a victorious Christian life? Everything that you will ever need to overcome the sin in your life, the trials in your life. God has given you everything. What are they? Number one, He has given you His Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is God. Yes, He is a distinct personality, but yet He is God. The Holy Spirit's job is to teach us, to pray for us, to lead us, to guide us, and to warn us. These are all Bible principles of the Holy Spirit for us. Okay, you have the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Right? Romans chapter 8. God has also given us His Word. What does God's Word do? To give us light, to give us wisdom, and to give us direction in life. And give us also, might I add, Matthew 7, stability in your life when you would obey it. Many Christians are unstable in their faith and their lives because they don't have a stable foundation. If you are building your life on what you believe, it is an unstable foundation. But if you learn to obey God, children, as you are growing up in life, PSLE is just one thing in society. It's not your entire life, okay? Alright, oh yeah, then, Mom, Pastor say it's not your own life, so you cannot force me to study every time. Wrong. Alright, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, okay? That is your job. You are supposed to do well, and you devote your time. Because why? God called you to be a Christian, what? Student. And a student, what does a student do? Studies, okay? Jesus didn't call you to be a Christian computer game person, okay? He calls you to be a Christian student, so you need to study, okay? He given us His Word to give us light. Then He given us, like it, He given us His church for fellowship, for encouragement, and for growth, and for teaching. These are all found in the Bible, okay? That's why it's important to be in the church. Brother Johnny, it's God's will. Why in the world? Why will God create an institution that is useless, which many people today, unfortunately, see no need to be part of? God has given us His church. God has given us Christian friends for encouragement and mutually help. Of course, God has given us parents to help us, to love us, to help us to be secure, and to teach us wisdom from life's experience. If God has given us His Holy Spirit, His Word, His church, His Christian friends and parents, you know what? Teens, for example, I'll just use you as a group. God has given us His Holy Spirit, His Word, His church, Christian friends and parents. Do you know what teens don't want? Don't want the Holy Spirit to tell them what to do. He'll rebel. Don't read the Bible. Sometimes don't come to church. Don't even see church as important. We're Christian friends. We prefer our worldly friends. And we don't want to listen to our parents. Exactly what Satan wants you to do. Exactly why there's so many conflicts. Exactly why there's no victory. Sometimes, many times in our teens' life. You know what? We need to get back. Because God has given us these things to help us to be victorious. In Proverbs chapter 4, a very important verse, that the lady who became an immoral lady had forsaken the guide of her youth. You know who's the guide of youth? The Word of God and parents. And if you have been brought up in a Sunday school, that's a guide that has been teaching you to do right. And those of you who have gone from Primary 5, Primary 6, for you, if you come on Friday, I'll be going through a development of a child, looking at the spiritual development, how children develop from age to age, what kind of things we need to teach them at what age, why they rebel at certain things, so that we can actually understand. And in Chinese, 知己知彼, know your enemy, and then you can actually defeat them. So we need to understand how children are made up, and when we teach the Bible to them, we will address the specific needs of their hearts so that they can grow. Okay? So, God has given us all things to give us victory. And we can be victorious because the Lord Jesus is greater than all the challenges we will have in this world. 1 John 4 verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There is nothing you will ever go through in your life that you cannot overcome in the name of our Lord. Amen? Christians, you need to believe that because Jesus has given us victory. There is nothing in your life that is so severe, so disastrous, that you cannot have victory over. Why? Because Jesus Christ is your Lord. And if He is God, if God be for us, what? Who can be against us? Christians, we have the victory. You know, as Christians, we need to believe that. Remember last week, we talked about the development of faith in people. And I'm afraid many Christians don't believe they have the victory. Therefore, they live in defeat. Okay, I'll give you a scenario. I'm very hungry. I'm very hungry, Why so hungry? I've eaten for 2 days, I have no money. But I thought you got $500 in your bank. I'm very hungry. Very hungry. But you got $500 in your bank. I'm very hungry. You know why I bring you an illustration? It's sometimes sad when people have difficulties in your life and you present the word of life, they still want to choose their old ways and stay with their old ways. Do you realize how much power this book has? Through faith, we know the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Hebrews 11 verse 3. It was by faith that when God spoke the world into being and God gave His Word. How was the Bible given? 2 Timothy 3:16. How was it given? All scripture is given by inspiration. Theos nephthos. God breathe. Every time you speak, there is breath coming out. In other words, every word that you would read in your Bible on a daily basis came from God. And God spoke the word. And because God spoke the word, do you realize why we have an eternal soul, an immortal soul that lives forever? You know why? You know why we are different from animals? You know animals don't have an immortal soul? Because when God created Adam and Eve, He created animals, He didn't breathe His life into them. They were just given life, but God didn't breathe His life into them. But when you read Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, when God made man from the dust of the field, and He made him, and He breathed into man His breath, and man became a living soul. You know what that means? Every one of us will live forever because God's word was given to us. It was life. Does it make sense? And this is the very words that God gave us to live by on a daily basis. And when we live by the word, we will have victory because God gives us His victory. Philippians 4:13. Anyone? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Okay? So, as Christians, we can all overcome. But what does the world mean? To him that overcometh the world. To him that gains the victory or is a conqueror over the world. This may refer to any victory of a moral character. And the expression is especially used for a person who would win over four of these areas, okay? The Bible says if you overcome the world. Say, Brother Johnny, what do you mean by overcoming the world? These are the four areas. Number one, when you are able to overcome your own besetting sins. When there are sins in your life and you know that it's wrong and it's not supposed to be there, and you are unable to overcome it, it could be pride, it could be anger, it could be whatever, it could be the books you read, it could be the computer games you go to that you know is wrong, it could be the internet websites you go to, you're not supposed to be there, it could be the friends you make with, they're always causing you to do the wrong thing, it could be a bad habit, and if you're unable to overcome that, that means you don't have a victory in your Christian life. And I'm afraid that some of us may have, and I say this kindly as a pastor, some of us may be doing things that privately that no one knows, you know is wrong, but you just cannot get over it. You know what? The devil will whisper this to you. Don't tell anyone. You'll be very embarrassed. Right? Do you know what is God's way of helping a person who is trapped in that kind of sin? Repentance and confession. That you will do all you can, even at the cost of your reputation. Because I just read in my Bible devotions this morning, Matthew chapter 18, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, do what? Cut it off. If there's something in your life that is stopping you from winning the race, having the victory in your life, Jesus says, cut it off. But Brother Johnny, I've been watching things on the internet that I should, doesn't mean I have to use a knife and no, maybe try getting someone to sit with you or getting someone to be accountable first. I was dealing with one teenager that was exasperated. Okay, and then there was one time he SMS me, "Can you come down?" And I just cannot take my. And he was a 15-year-old boy, I think. And then he was just consumed by computer games to the point that he was even now stealing money to go to, because he cannot play at home, but because parents will find out. So he was, and now he was stealing money to play the computer games downstairs. Now when, can I say this, if you have to do that to get your fix, that's addiction already. Alright, that's technological addiction. It does happen. Many people in, I think China has this addiction clinics. But can you see what they had? The first thing was, thank God he was honest. He was found out he was honest. The first thing I did was sat down with him. I asked him, "You have a choice. You have to make a choice. Do you realize that you're addicted?" And later on he said, "Yeah." And then the first thing you need to do is go to, you know, I think if I'm not wrong, computer, if you go to a particular play, do those computer shops, LAN, gaming, or whatever, you actually have an account that after you pay money, I'm not trying to teach you what to do, okay? Please don't listen, okay? Children, close your ears now. Okay? Basically, you have an account. But anyway, what I told him to do, is the first thing you need to do is to go there, I will sit beside you, you delete all your play accounts. But you know, when I went there, thank God he was honest, he didn't have one, he had three. And he was willing to do that. And thank God today he's back on track. Cut it off. Spiritually speaking, that means do everything you can radically. And some of you need to change your handphone numbers. You need to change your email. You need to use a hammer and smash your computer or whatever. Do something drastic so that you will stay away from that sin. Because Jesus says it is better for you to enter into eternal life without your hands. I don't know about you, I'd rather be bottom shuffling in heaven than burning in hell without my hands. Does that make sense? I'd rather be in heaven, which won't happen, by the way. In heaven, you will have all your physical extremities there. But you know what Jesus says? Look, it is better for you to go to heaven without your hands, right? Than to burn in hell with both hands. The world means your sins. Are there things in your life, children, teens, are there things you are not telling mom and dad? Or even young adults, are there things that you're not telling mom and dad? If you have, those are your besetting sins. And if you hold on to that, you will never have victory in your Christian life. You will never get past. You know how, Brother Johnny, how to get past? Repentance and confession. Confession is oftentimes bad for your reputation, but good for your soul. But you know what? Reputation can be built. You need to ask God to help you there. Okay? The other sins could be anger, unforgiveness, lack of self-control, lack of love, poor commitment to the Lord. In Hebrews 12 verse 1, Paul encourages the Hebrew Christians, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us." Number one is the besetting sins. Number two is the world. The world meaning the world and its temptations. The things of this world, the fashions of this world, the friends of this world. Things that everything, "Oh, I like that. Oh, I need to have that. Oh, I need to have that. Oh, I need to have that. Oh, I want to look like that," and all that kind. And teenagers sometimes have posters inside their room, right? Or maybe the top NBA player or whatever and all that. You know what? They need to have the Bible there. And they want to be like Christ. We need to have Christ as our hero. But you know what? Our teens, if all you look for is the things of this world and the fashions of this world, God says, love not the world. Don't put your affections and desires in the things of this world. Are you able to overcome that? Are you able to overcome that? Or must it be? You know, I'm thankful for our youth group yesterday, and I'm thankful for the youth leaders who make it a point to get them to work. You know, they were all working together, you know, and thank God, you know, this place is a better place because every chair was wiped. Amen? They haven't been wiped since the time we bought it. It was how long ago? Like 5-6 years ago. But every chair was individually wiped. Okay? And they clean upstairs, they even wash the windows, they open up everything. And the teens did that. And what a wonderful... And I was thinking, and thank God for that. And one of the things we encourage very much is, teens, you need to do your best in your school. And thank God we had no problems so far. Alright? Okay. Everyone was doing well because why? The encouragement, everyone is encouraging one another, praying for one another. Let's do our best for the Lord and honor our parents and all that. We thank God for that. You know? But you know what? You know the danger is not that you have a youth group. The danger is when you go back to school. The danger is when you have your friends that you will mix with 5 days a week, and they will give you philosophies that are not Bible, and you have no wisdom to decide whether that is true or not. And then you bring it back. I know I was a teenager once, and when I was in the Pentecostal movement, I told my pastor, I think we need to have drums in the church as a 16-year-old. My pastor looked at me and didn't say anything. And he was shaking his head, probably. And thank God I didn't go down that track. Thank God I have a pastor who was wise enough to say, this guy is going down the wrong road. And you know what? Thank God for that. I have a youth group as well that tried to encourage one another. But you know what? As a young person, can you overcome the things in this world? Do you really have to follow every fashion that comes along? Do you really have to follow? The Bible says the fashions of this world passes away. Only the Word of God abideth forever. We need to overcome the world and its temptations. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Another thing you overcome is prevalent error. That you are able to detect what is wrong and sinful, and you are able to overcome them because you have clearness of mind. Another area of overcoming the world is the trials of life. Many people, they can stand firm as a Christian, but when trials come, they fall. They give up the faith. They don't want to come to church anymore. Why? Because they are offended by what God says, or they say, if God, have you heard this? If God is a God of love, how can He send people to hell? And many people don't want to become Christians. Can I say this? God don't want to send people to hell. People go to hell because they choose to. Think carefully. They go to hell because they choose to. Why? Because the salvation has been freely offered. Jesus has paid the price. All you need to do is to accept Him as your personal Savior. You're on the way to heaven. Alright? Of course, with faith and repentance in your heart. But you know what? Many people, sometimes over the trials of life, they begin to fall. Okay? So in all these respects, we show that the Christian principles are firm and unshaken. God gives us trials so that to prove in our hearts that we are genuine Christians. Trials are sent to prove whether or not we are genuine Christians. Because a genuine Christian will hold firmly to Christ. Okay? Thousands will fall. I'll just read this. Thousands will fall in the conflict with evil, but they who maintain a steady warfare, who achieve a victory, shall be received as conquerors in the end. Every Christian can win and can overcome this world. Romans chapter 3 verse 35, I'll just read. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep to the slaughter. That means Paul is saying, every day I'm in threat of my life. People are wanting to kill me. But you know what Paul says? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. There was one Christian wife who was crying continually to the Lord about her alcoholic husband. She could not bear the continual heartache, the strife, and the embarrassment. She urgently prayed that God would transform the man and heal her marriage. That was a cry of the Christian wife's heart. And her husband was still continuing in the drinking. God also wanted to change that man, but God will not force Himself on anyone. So since the wife had no biblical grounds for divorce, she had to learn to endure and be patient for God to deal with the husband's heart. In this situation, her deliverance came, not external circumstances, but came internally. What happened? As God protected her from physical abuse and gave her peace and joy in her heart. Today, apparently, the husband is still not safe. But the peace and joy that this wife can experience is no longer in the future, is now. In other words, in a situation that's as terrible as that, can you imagine having, my wife and I had a, not privileged, but we know of a family whereby we had this young Indian girl who comes to church 20 years ago. And dad just comes home and beats up the family because he's drunk. Of course, when we visit, he's sober. But in the night time, when he comes back, he's drunk. He'll beat up his wife. Wife had to work. to support the family because all dad does is drink. You know? Can you imagine coming, not knowing whether your husband will beat you up, but you know what? God protected that the wife and gave her the peace. In other words, she lives every day in victory. In other words, even though her situation was not the ideal situation, but you know what? He knows God's in charge. Can I say this? Do you know, even though your situation is not ideal, do you believe God is in charge? If God is in charge, you can have peace and joy in your heart, and that will show up in your life. Did you know that? Have you spoken to people with cancer who has a smile on their face and saying that Jesus Christ is still Lord? Only God can do that. There was one man, I think I shared before, I think he's from a Baptist church in America. He was stricken with a multiple sclerosis. Those who know, it's a what you call, you know, in our body there's a nerves, and our nerves is covered by this thing called the myelin sheath. Okay? Multiple sclerosis. Okay, the purpose of the myelin sheath is to speed up the nerve transmission from nerve to nerve. Or in biology. Multiple sclerosis is when the sheath becomes hardened so that the nerve transmission slows down. So that when we begin when he eat, he starts to slow down. Okay? But you know what? He was the founder of God is Good Ministries. And even in that condition, he can still preach, God is good. And none of us will, thank God we're all healthy. After that, we go back, we can still have lunch, amen? You can pay for your lunch also, right? And some of you even eat good lunch, right? Not Chai Peng, it's Western. And you know where to get the best one. So, you know what, God? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? You know what? So for here, God can give us victory even over the trials of life. James chapter 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them that love him. So, Brother Johnny, you talk about the world, you talk about overcoming, but how is this world overcome? How do we overcome this world? How do we overcome this world? By faith. That's very simple, right? It's by faith. But what does it mean? In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, let me just read this. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. God has given us the Bible, the great and precious promises, that when we put our faith in it, we receive God's divine nature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away because all things have become new. God gives us a new nature in our hearts. And the more we submit to God, the old nature, which is still in us, becomes less and less able to cause us to sin. Does that make sense? Many of us as Christians, we still think in the old way. God wants us to think the new way. That's why in Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says it's a new and living way. A way that is alive. Not the old way that follows tradition. Not the old ways that just can, I just do this and I'll be fine. No, it's a living way, a living relationship with Christ. Okay? A few things about faith, how it helps us to have victory. Faith believes God. Genuine faith believes God in every situation. Job chapter 13 verse 15, this is a very, very powerful verse. Job says, though he slay me, even though God kills me, I will still trust him. Because when God kills me, he has a reason for killing me. I believe with all my heart, I'll still be alive until God is done with me. That's not to say I anyhow drive and I'll close my eyes when I cross the road. But you know, I'll take all I can to be careful, but I think you know what I mean. Can I say this is the same for you guys? When God is done with you, then He'll take you home. But if God is not done with you, He will still keep you here. Okay? And make sure we're not in sin, because if you're in sin, God can be done with you quite quick. Alright? Repent of that. But faith believes God, number one. Number two, faith believes that God has a plan. Faith believes that God has a plan. Yes, there's trials. Yes, there's difficulties. But God has a plan. it's interesting as I hear testimonies, I have heard this again and again. The moment a family chooses to serve God, and that's when Satan comes. All the time. But you know what? Faith, believe God has a plan. When you look at the trial, you say, no, God has a plan. And this is, can I share with you something I've taken for my life whenever trials come? Whenever trials come into my life, this is what I say. God is testing me now. I need to pass this one. A trial that comes, God is testing me now. I need to pass this one. And I'm going to trust God to do that. Oh yes, there's pain. It could even be a loss of income. It could be a loss of whatever. Is it? But God has a test for me. But you know, you need to find out what subject of the test. Is it perseverance? Is it faith? Is it because I'm doing the wrong thing? You need to find out what's the test. And then ask God to help you pass it. But faith, believe that God has a plan. Romans 8:28, we all know that. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Next one, faith believe that God will help us, will assist us in our trials. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. The Lord is my helper, of whom will I be afraid of? Faith believes that. Many Christians don't believe that. Unfortunately, you know how I know. Oh, no. How? I cannot take it with you. Cannot. But what does faith do? Faith is calm. Faith believes God. Have you seen commanders? I've seen commanders whereby when the worst thing happens, they will just sit down and just think, okay, I think we do that. Why? He's full of confidence. He knows the military strategies. He said, okay, I think we need to do this. You know, see ya. You know, we don't need to go down there. Only the world will see ya. We don't have to see ya. We need to see up there. No, God has. We need to try. Faith believes that God will help us in our trials. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what He said. And God doesn't lie, by the way, just in case you forgot. God doesn't lie. He is with you, Christian. Faith believes also that God will not tempt us above that we are able. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God will provide a way of escape. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, amen. He will not tempt you above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also provide a way of escape, so that you can bear it, that you may be able to bear it. You see, God gives trials in our lives not to bring us down, but to build us up. And by the way, the way to escape doesn't mean that you get out of your trials. Because God can go into the fire with you. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Oh God, get me out of this place! Because God says, no, I want you in there, and I'm coming in with you. You know, in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's situation, it's so interesting. If you read the Bible verse, Shadrach, they already decided, we're not going to bow to you, King. Remember the story? And King Nebuchadnezzar built a tower, a statue. They're supposed to bow down to it. They said, no, I'm not supposed to bow down to it. And King said, you don't, I'll throw you in. He said, go ahead, King. We're not going to bow down. So they obeyed God. And so God threw them, or not God threw them, the king threw them into the fire. I think you know the story. King Nebuchadnezzar, an unsaved man, looked into the fire. What did he see? He didn't say three. He saw four men. When you stand for God in your trials, it's amazing what God will cause the people to see from the outside. You mean these Christians, when they go through trials, they can still stand strong? And that's when you can share your testimony. But you know, for me, a more powerful thing. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fire, they were bound, the Bible says, they were bound by the ropes. You know how they came out? They came out without the ropes. Because the fire burnt off the things the world puts us in. Sorry, the fire burns off the things the world put on us. So that when we go through the fire, God makes us pure. And guess what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego at the end of that chapter glorified God, because King Nebuchadnezzar made a new decree. I make a decree that anyone who speaks amiss of this God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut down and be cast into the furnace. For who is that God who is able to deliver? Even an unsaved man. Some people believe King Nebuchadnezzar will be in heaven. I'm not too sure. But you know what? He glorified God. Can I say this? When you stand, you know what? So what if we lost our jobs? Maintain your faith and say, God, you provide. Sell your house, do all you can practically. God knows what He's doing. God knows. I know for some of you, say, Johnny, this is hard. And that's where you need to, after I talk about what you need to do. Okay, faith believes that God will not tempt us above that we are able. Faith, next one, believe that God will deliver us. Psalm 34 and verse 19. Let's turn there, alright? Psalm 34 and verse 19. Faith believes that God will deliver us. I'll just quickly get there. Therefore, verse 19, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. God will be with us to help us. Alright? And lastly, faith believes that God's goal in trials is to change us. Is to change us. What do I do, Brother Johnny, with all this thing? What do I practically do? Number one, Mark chapter 9, verse 24. There was a man who wanted God to heal his son. But Jesus said to him, believest thou that I'm able to do this? You know what the man said? Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. You know what? Number one, we need to repent of our unbelief in God. Because if faith is the thing that will help you win the victory, and you don't believe, then you will not have victory. So you need to ask God, help my unbelief. Repent of our unbelief in God. Number two, cry out to God for help. God, I can't. But I know you can. Oh God, help me. You know, that's why sometimes when you read the saints of old, when they talk about, they cry with tears in their hearts. You know why? Because they realize they cannot do it without God. And they are crying, God, help me. Number three, obey Him. John chapter 7:17. If any man will do His will, then he will know of the doctrine. Sometimes when God puts us through the trial, we don't know where He's leading us, like Abraham and all the men of old. But you know what? If we believe God knows where He's going, God knows what He's doing, then we just go ahead and take the next step for Him. I remember, even in Ambassador Baptist Church, when we first started, there were one or two people who said, no, Brother Johnny, you shouldn't be starting the mission. I said, why? You know, you just shouldn't be. And then he said, even if you start, I'm not going to join it. And that was what happened. But if it's the will of the Lord to get people saved, people have been saved. People have grown. I don't doubt that person's sincerity. Perhaps, maybe certain reasons came out in the person's mind to actually say that. But you know what? If God says start, then I'll just go ahead and do it. I don't know why. We need to just obey God. Then in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all situations, give thanks to Him. You want to have victory in this life? Learn to give thanks. You want to have victory in this life? Learn to give thanks in every situation. I'm not saying for every situation. Like the lady and the Jack, the deacon and the wife who lost the daughter. They can't give thanks for someone who killed their daughter, but certainly can give thanks in the situation. Say, God, I thank you that I still have my faith. Yes, I may have lost my daughter. I thank you my daughter is in heaven. I can thank you for that too. I can thank God. We can thank God in the situations. And I need to add one more, right? What do I do? In order to have victory in your life, you need to grow in your faith. Because if you don't grow in your faith, you can't have victory. Your victory is always limited to that thing that you always have victory. God wants you to grow because He wants you to have victory in all your lives. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 3:18. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what you need to do? Join the FBI. Advertisement. Over here, right?
No,
you still can. Oh, yeah. Maybe God give the Chinese New Year so that we can have one more week delay. Join the FBI. I'm serious about it. You will learn a lot of things. And we're talking about the doctrine of Satan, alright? And we'll be looking at his tactics, strategies, and how we can defeat him as a Christian. Come on Friday night, if the Lord is willing and you can make it, we're going to be talking about raising children, biblical sense, and I'm going to talk about specifically what as family members we can do and how to encourage the building of children, not just in the family but also within the church. Are you reading your Bible daily? Are you coming to Sunday school to learn? As we close, Let me ask you a question as we close. Based on what we've talked about, who overcomes this world? Who overcomes this world? Christians. It is God's will. We are supposed to be overcomers. We are. Over our emotions, over physical situations, over everything in life, we're supposed to be overcomers. What helps us to overcome this world? Our faith. It's by faith. By faith. Do you realize many of the prophets of old died, but you know what? They died having a fiery testimony. When people look at their lives, they say, I want to be like that person who trusts God. Even though they lost their lives. You know what? Your faith is the most important possession you will ever have in this life. Your Christian faith is the most important. And this is not just you will realize it is not your mathematical formula that will get you through life. It's not your understanding of science that will get you through life. It is faith in God that will get you through life. Because God will put faith in you to help you to grow. For the teenagers who will be going to your new places of study and all that, keep your faith in Christ and don't let the devil corrupt you through the philosophies of this world. Okay, young adults and people with families, remember this, Christ needs to be the head of that house. When you put the head away, there's only one head that goes up there, you. And when we are up there, things mess up. Okay, because we're not perfect, but if Christ is head, then He is perfect. Let's trust God with all of our heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct thy path. Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time. We ask, Lord, that Thou would speak to our hearts with regards to this whole area of faith and belief. God, it's come a time whereby many people don't want to hear God's word anymore. God, we pray as we sing this song, Faith is a Victory, I pray that we will take this seriously. Lord, from Thy word we have learned today that every Christian have the potential to overcome this world. And God, our job is to yield to You. And God, this world refers to our sins, the things that beset us, the fashions of this world. And God, we know that only by faith in Christ can we overcome this world, because otherwise we will be living in the flesh anyway. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, can I just ask you a question? Are you an overcomer today? Are you able to overcome the things in your life, the sins in your life? Are you able to control your passions and your are you able to allow God to take over? When trials come, do you give up in despair? Or are you saying, I know God's in charge, and I know I can trust Him, and in that sense have victory? And say, Brother Johnny, can you please pray for me that God will help me to have the overcoming life in Christ. Is there anyone like that? I'll pray for you. Amen. I can see that hand. I see that hand too. Amen. A few hands. Amen. Just put it up and put it down and then pray before God. Decide, God, I want to have victory, but God, You need to help me. Amen. I can see that hand. Children and teenagers, young adults, anyone else? Just put up your right hand up. I'll pray for you. Or it could be amen, I see that hand. It could be a specific situation, Lord, that you're saying, God, I have a problem in this. I don't seem to be able to overcome it. But God, I want to, because I want to honor You. I want to glorify You. Lord, help me. Is there anyone else? Amen, I see those hands. I see those hands. Amen. And I say this as you are putting up your hands. I want you to, by God's grace, very specific in your own mind and your own heart, say, Lord, I will overcome this because I know You have given me the strength to do so. Lord, help me. And pray specifically and put it before the throne of grace and beg God, God, help me. And it could be that because you've overcome that, someone else may have the courage to overcome that too. Amen. I see another hand. Amen. Is there anyone else? If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you will never overcome. Because you have no strength to overcome in this world. You need to come to a place where you understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior of this world. And if the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed. Is there anyone that says, Brother Johnny, I don't know if I die right now, I'll be in heaven. But I want to know. Is there anyone like that? I want to be an overcomer in this life. I'm sick and tired of always falling down, always being defeated. But I want to know Jesus. Is there anyone? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the people They put up their hands. I pray for everyone. I pray for every child first. Lord, there may be many things in the child's life that maybe as adults sometimes we don't even understand. But God, if they put up their hands, it could be in their childlike faith. They want to do right. I ask you, Lord, to give them the faith to believe, to trust you, so that they can take a step of faith to do what is right. Lord, I don't know how else to pray for them except that, God, you would take these little ones and groom them for the kingdom of God and save their soul and set them on a higher plane. I pray for every teenager who has put up their hand. Lord, I ask you to help them to overcome things in their life they know is not supposed to be there. Help them to overcome the fashions of this world, Lord. And God, I know that certain things in life, perhaps it's good to have. But yet, Lord, if it will distract them from Christ, Lord, I pray you help them to overcome. I pray that they will have wisdom in their friendships, in their discerning who their friends are. And that, God, they will put you first above all, even in the selection of friends. Lord, even in the career path they're going to take, I pray that they will help them, Lord, to let your word be the deciding factor. And that, God, you will guide them. And I pray for every young adult who has put up their hand. Oh, God, I pray they face so many challenges in their life of work, of family, and different things. And sometimes the pressures, Lord, will cause us, Father, to give in. Oh, Lord, I pray for greater faith in Christ. I pray for a closer walk with you. I pray, Lord, that they will spend much time meditating upon thy word, that faith might grow. Lord, I pray for the married couples who have put up their hands. I ask, Father, that thy Holy Spirit will guide them in the leadership of their homes, in the guiding of their children, in the doing of the things that will be important to this life. That, God, they will firstly put you first, that they might overcome. God, I pray, by your grace, you give us a strength as a people to be an overcoming people. A people who will love you above all and love one another and will help one another walk that life that will honor you. And God, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll just sing one verse.